My guest at this time is Peter LaBarbara. He's the president of Americans for Truth About Homosexuality. You can also find his writings, as he is also a national reporter, at LifeSiteNews.com. One of the big political stories this week centered around former Breitbart.com tech editor Milo Yiannopoulos. Known in conservative circles for his provocative and controversial attacks against political correctness, Milo is playing defense now after video surfaced of him casually discussing sexual relationships between men and boys, including himself, when he was a young teenager. That cost him a coveted speaking slot at CPAC, a major book deal, and his job at Breitbart. Later in the week, video of Star Trek actor George Takei from quite a while ago also went viral. In those comments, Mr. Takei joked about his first homosexual experience happening at a summer camp when he was 14 and the counselor was 19. So is this a common issue in the homosexual community, or is it wrong to leap to any conclusions based on a couple of high-profile accounts? And Peter, thanks very much for being with us today.
Thank you, Greg. Thanks for the opportunity.
Both Yiannopoulos and Takei, in these interviews, if you watch them, talk very casually about these adult-child incidents they experienced, almost as if it was no big deal. So how common is this in the gay community?
Well, to answer your question in the lead-up, Greg, it is not wrong to talk about these because it is fairly common among homosexual men. We're talking men who identify as gay in their adulthood. And I think this is one argument, I think, for that homosexuality is, you know, a product of circumstances. It's not something you're born with. Yes, it's common. And you know, there's a long history of this, and I don't think people understand that. You know, take, for example, the guy who Obama honored, Harvey Milk, who was a homosexual activist. He was molested as a boy in a theater by men. His mother naively sent him to a theater in New York City, I think in Manhattan, alone as a boy. And he was molested. He went on to be a homosexual activist who also liked to date so-called younger men, even a teenager once. I think there was a 17-year-old or a 16-year-old boy who he had a sexual relationship when he was 33. This is Harvey Milk. And so there's a lot of examples of this. But the media, of course, it's not a politically correct topic, because when you start raising questions like this, people say, well, maybe this is a contributing factor to homosexuality.
Peter, dig into that a little bit more on a couple of fronts. First of all, when there's a traumatic experience like that, you would think instinctively that people would recoil from that. But as you mentioned with Harvey Milk and in other cases, often it leads the victims to conclude that as a result of that, that they are homosexual. How does that happen? What do we know from research on that?
Yeah, it's the research bears out that this is a major factor, Greg. And I'm sorry, I don't have the study in front of me, but there was a recent study in a Psychological Report about this, but that mentioned this is one of the a main factor in homosexuality. But what's interesting is that the psychology, I guess it's sort of like the girl who is abused by a boyfriend or a relative, and then she seeks out other abusive men. I mean, this is the human psyche we're talking about. We don't know all the factors, but I think at some level, some of these boys, and it's very, very tragic, they believe that when they are, you know, recruited or seduced by an older man, that somehow that confirms that they were homosexual. In other words, they blame themselves, and it's very, very tragic. But the good news is people have come out of homosexuality. A good friend of mine, Stephen Black, he was abused as a boy, but he is now ex-gay. He came out of a homosexual lifestyle. He's married with children. So the good news is you can come out of these awful circumstances.
One of the other things that was interesting, in addition to them, at least in these interviews, not being traumatized by these experiences that happened earlier in their lives, Milo, in fact, contended that he was the predator. He was at 14 or whatever age, the one seeking out this activity. And Takei, I don't know that he said he was the aggressor, but said that he welcomed it. He wasn't felt like he was preyed upon at all. So we know from other experiences that when this happens, other people assume the victims assume that they've done something wrong. So talk about that mindset.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know all the history of either, but it's very sad. I mean, we don't know the circumstances, the full story. But obviously, when you have a 14-year-old boy or a 13-year-old boy pursuing homosexual sex, something went wrong in that boy's childhood, like with Harvey Milk. I mean, we don't talk about Harvey Milk. Nobody talks about his past, how he was molested in a theater. But now he's talked about coming out as gay and how great that is. And I think that's the problem with this debate, Greg. We focus on the gay rights, civil rights aspect, which I believe is fraudulent. We don't talk about these negative causative factors. And there's other people too. Don Lemon on CNN, the famous host on CNN, he was molested as a boy by an older kid in the neighborhood when he had a troubled childhood. You know, so this is very, very common, but nobody seems to put the pieces together. And again, the Takai thing, Greg, I think that's fascinating because it was a camp counselor. And here we have the Boy Scouts of America are now allowing openly homosexual, not just boys, but openly homosexual men. Now, that means you're going to have homosexual men taking boys on camping trips. And we know from history that that is not a good thing. And there are lots of abuse that comes out of that, including in the Boy Scouts.
Peter, I know you've studied this issue and you've talked to many, many people over the years. So while you may not have hard data, if you do, I'll go ahead and share that with our listeners. But just from the folks you've talked to who either struggle with this or have come out of that lifestyle, would you say half, most, less than half? What percentage roughly would you say have had these sorts of experiences along the way?
Greg, I can't give an exact number, but I'll tell you what. I've been doing this for 25 years, and I now see that I really underestimated this factor. I think it's extremely high. I think it could be, upwards of over half the men, or even much higher than that, who had, if it wasn't a homosexual seduction recruitment thing like this, they had some early sexualization. Perhaps it was even straight porn. I know one guy who was now ex-gay who went into the homosexual lifestyle because a tenant at his house showed him straight pornography at a very young age. So something happens when you expose a child prematurely to early sexuality or abuse or dysfunction. And, you know, there's other factors, but this is clearly a major factor in male homosexuality and also among some lesbians.
I was just going to ask you to follow up on that. Is there a major divide in how frequent that is with men as opposed to gay women?
Well, I think the woman factor is different, but again, I think there's more abuse than we'd like to admit. I mean, Ellen DeGeneres was abused. I can't remember if it was a relative or uncle, but lots of these stories, and it's not pure anecdotal. A gay activist will say, oh, well, lots of straight people were abused too, of course. But when we see that the homosexual lifestyle, which is clearly aberrant, when we see these aberrant factors in the childhood of so many people, I think, Greg, a fascinating study would be just famous homosexuals. You know, I mean, just take people like George Takei, who are well known as homosexual, and look at their backgrounds. I think you would find an amazing amount of abuse, neglect, dysfunction in childhood, parent alienation, and these things should be studied. But of course, in academia, they're not, because everything now, the rigid political correctness says you have to be pro-gay.
We're talking with Peter LaBarbara, president of Americans for Truth About Homosexuality and a national reporter at LifeSiteNews.com. Last topic, Peter, there's obviously been a major pushback on the things that Milo had to say, and I think just about everybody would agree that there should be a pushback. But others who have been where you are in this debate have also pointed out their efforts in recent years to remove the stigma from pederasty and pedophilia. How active is that movement, and is it gaining traction?
It is gaining traction, Greg. There's actually a movement which is redefining pedophilia as MAPS, minor attracted persons. I was reading the APA manual on mental disorders, and they call pedophilia an orientation. You see this. I saw, I think it was not Slate, maybe it was one of the online journals has erased. They had pro-pedophile stuff on their website. Do you happen to remember which one that was, Greg?
I believe it was Slate.
It was Slate. Yeah, they erased. I think they were reporting on Milo, and they quickly got rid of on their website the pro-pedophilia stuff. The idea that being attracted towards children is an orientation, Greg, that is already officially out there, and that's pretty scary.
So if this movement is afoot, Peter, what's the end game here? What do they ultimately want to achieve?
Well, I think the radical left wants to achieve the normalization of pedophilia and defining the age of consent down and treating children as sexual objects, you know, sexualizing children. But I think Milo inadvertently has done an amazing service here. I don't think he intended to, but he has educated a lot of people about the reality of homosexual ideation, homosexual life. We now know that Childhood sex was an important factor. We don't know the exact circumstances. We need to learn more from Milo, but he has got it out there. And this sort of breaks through the media's politically correct wall, because the media was the one pushing born gay, you know, all the myths and the lies. 10% of the public is gay and they're born that way. All of these were myths, and they're going to crumble away as more and more people learn about the causation of homosexuality and also transgenderism.
Peter, very interesting. Thank you very much for your time today. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Greg. God bless.
Thank you, sir. Peter LaBarbara is president of Americans for Truth About Homosexuality. He's also a national reporter at LifeSiteNews.com. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.